Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Bechorot Daf Tet Amud Aleph. About to take a look at Mishnah Gimel Umish and Mishnah Dalet, which are put together here of the first chapter of Bechorot, dealing again, continuing to deal with Peter Chamor, the firstborn of the donkey. It's important to note a couple things in advance of this Mishnah, of these Mishnayot. First of all, the only time that there is an obligation is if the male born, and this is true in Bechor Beimat Tahora, it's true Bechor Adam, and it's true for Peter Chamor, for all of our Bechorot, only if the firstborn is a male. The second thing to be aware of, and that's going to be explicated at the end of this, these two Mishnayot, is that the redemption from the flock, either the lamb or the goat, that goes to the Kohen, is simply a financial debt, and therefore follows all the rules of Tohen Benitan, of claims, etc., which is guided by the rule Hamotzei Mechavaro Alav Haraya, and therefore only if there is assuredness that this lamb is owed to the Kohen does it go to him. All right, here we'll take a look. Chamorah shelo bichra. If you have a donkey that did not yet have its firstborn, v'yaldah shnei zecharim, and it gave birth to two males as twins, noten tleachad l'kohen, you owe one lamb to the Kohen, which means we can only consider one of them, and we don't really care which one it is, as the firstborn. Zachar nekeva, but if on the other hand a zachar nekeva came out, mafrish tleachad l'atzmo, you separate one from the flock, and you keep it. Shtei chamorav shelo bichru v'yaldah shnei zecharim. So let's say you now have two donkeys that did not yet have the firstborn, and they gave birth each to a male. So attention to claim that coin. You have to give two lambs. You cannot redeem them on one lamb. And we'll see a clarification of this towards the end of Mishnah Dalet. At that point, comment on it. Zachar unikeva, so you have the two that did not yet give birth, and one gave birth to a male, one to a female. O shnei zacharim unikeva, or there's two males and one female, and you don't know where they came from, meaning that the two males could have each been the firstborn. But there isn't a keva in the mix. Noten tle echad la kohen. You only give one tle because there's only one sure animal that had a zachar just by math. Shtei nekevot v'zachar, shtei zachar v'shtei nekevot. If you have two females in the mix, one male or two males, and la kohen klum, because it could be the case that each one of the animals had the female first. So the kohen gets nothing. That's based on, again, hamotzi v'chavaro. Achat bichra v'achat shelo bichra. So now in Mishnah Dalet, you have two animals, one of them two donkeys, one had already had its firstborn, dealt with it, and another one had not yet. V'yaldash, v'yaldut, should be shnei zacharim. They gave birth to, each one had males. You owe one to the coin. Zachar nekeva, if you come and find a male and female, and you don't know which came from which, they got mixed up somehow, or there was no clarification. Mafrish, tlei echad latzmo. Again, you have one lamb, but you keep it for yourself. And what's the source of all this? Shenemar, petach chamor tifdeva seh. The Torah says you have to redeem a petach chamor with a seh. A seh means from the flock, and we know that from Pesach. And therefore, it could be min hakvasim u'min ha'izim. It could be from the lambs or the goats. Zachar nekeva could be male or female. Gadol katan could be old or young. Tamim uvalmum, it could be unblemished or blemished. And podepo pamim harbe, you can use the same lamb several times. However, as we saw earlier in Mishnah Gimel, you cannot use one lamb for multiple chamorim at the same time. So what that means is that if you were to redeem use a lamb for redemption and give it to the kohen, and then somehow it comes back to you or was a safek and stayed with you, and then later on other donkeys are born, you could use it again for redemption. Nichnas ladir litaser. This seh is a regular seh, and if it stays with its owner, then it goes into the corral for but if it dies, unlike Psulei Muktashin, you can benefit from its pelt, etc. Now, Mantana, who is the authority behind our Mishnah? Ma Rabbi Yirmiyah, Deloka Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It can't be Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Why? Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Amar, if Shadat Samseim. He has a general rule that says that two things cannot happen simultaneously, and therefore you cannot have two male Bechorot happening at the same time. It can only be one Bechor. Rabbi says, no, even Rabbi Yosef Gluli could get behind our Mishnah. In the case of Bechor Behemat Tehora, he uses the plural, that the males come to Hashem, which means that even Rabbi Yosef Gluli, who says, if Charlotte Tzamtzeim, so he would say, you see that in the case of, let's say, lambs or oxen, you can have multiples that come to God. However, it doesn't say that with Petach Hamor, and therefore it can only be one. So why doesn't Hazcharim Hashem become the model and apply it here? The answer is Amayit Rachmano Hazcharim, because the Torah said, here, the males here. Now, Ika Da'amri, Now we have another version of this. Not where Rabbi Yirmiya claims this Mishnah is against Rabbi Yossi Galili and Abaye defends that he could be included, but rather, just as a suggestion, so the same sort of approach. Now, the difference is that Rabbi Yirmiya actually holds that our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yossi Galili. Rabbi Yirmiya, who maintains, as a matter of fact, that this Mishnah does not follow Rabbi Yossi Galili, we understand, according to him, why the Mishnah does not give a more extreme example where both heads came out simultaneously. Well, Abaye, according to Abaye, who says Rabbi Yossi Galili could support the Mishnah, why doesn't the Mishnah teach a greater chidush and say here's a case where both males came out at the same time, and still there's only one? The Od Tanya Chamorosh Lo Bichrav Yalda Shnei Zecharim. We have a bright parallel to our Mishnah. If you have a chamor that did not yet give birth and then had two males, V'yatzu Shnei Roshem Keachad, V'saglim Omer Shneihem LaKohen. He explicitly says that when both heads come out at the same time, both of them belong to the Kohen. You have to use Shnei Tu Seim. Shemar Hazcharim Lashem. And he quotes the pasuk about Bechor Beima Torah. This is exactly opposite of Abaye's approach. And that pasuk is talking about Bechor Beima Torah. Elishum Shemar Hazcharim Lashem. And the reason is because it says Hazcharim Lashem and it applies it to Petach Hamor. So Teyufta da Abaye, Teyufta. Abaye has been disproven as far as the authorship of the Mishnah, and it really cannot be Rabbi Yossi Galili. Okay, v'rabbanan, le'mekasav v'rabbanan miktzat rechem makdish. So now let's perhaps suggest that the Rabbanan say that even miktzat rechem is makdish, because after all, if two of them are in the same place, and remember, both heads came out at the same time, so that means that each one of them only had contact with part of the uterine wall, part of the birth canal, because the other one was in the way. And therefore, that means that it's makdish, even though it only had contact with some of the rechem. Ikule rechem makdish, ni'idiyev shalat samtzeim, chatzitza mi'aika. Because if you need the entire rechem makdish, so in spite of the fact that you can't be mitzamtzeim, you can't have two things happen simultaneously, you've got a chatzitza between each one of these and the uterine wall, and there should be none that go to the kohen. So Rav Minvino and Echotzeit, so it's a general rule that something does not block that which is of its own species, or its own type. And therefore, the brother of this Bechor is not in the way, if you will. Okay. Zachar Nekeva Mafrish Tiflei. So we said that if you have this one animal and you come and find that it gave birth to a male and a female and you don't know which was first, you separate a seb, but you keep it. So the question is, V'cheman de la'atzma hu lama li lafrushe. So since you're going to keep it, why are you being mafrish it at all? So lafkue isure mine. So that means that you're doing it in order to remove the prohibition from the donkey, which means that you have a Zachar Nekeva. The Zachar may be a Bechor, therefore there are certain things you can't do with it. We'll see if that's true and what they are, if so. And in order to remove it, you separate a Seb, but then you keep the Seb, and then nothing happens. So Alma came to Lamifka, Asur Bahana'a. So you see that without removing that Isur, you're not allowed to benefit from the animal. So Matnitin Mani, who then is the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda, he must be Rabbi Yehuda. Titania. And here we have a big machlok of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, about the entire issue of Petach Hamor. Titania Petach Hamor Asur Bahana'a, Rabbi Shimon Matir. There we go. Now Ma'itam Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll find out that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the first part of that bright up. Why does he say that it's Asur? Amar Ula. It's very simple. And this is one of the can you imagine sort of things, which as kids we used to make that joke, how do you know that you have to wear yarmulke? It's a Yaakov. Could you imagine Yaakov leaving without a yarmulke? But this is what's really being employed here. Could you imagine something which needs to be redeemed and yet it's mutar? Like, what's the meaning of redemption otherwise? But the answer is velo. Of course you have things like that. Vahare b'chor adam. A baby is born, you have to redeem him, and therefore, nonetheless, mutar. If, let's say, theoretically, you didn't redeem a kid until he was a teenager, and he went out and got a job, his wages are not asur b'hana'a, and therefore, even though he needs redemption, you don't have any sur hana'a. So that answer doesn't work. That's a little bit of a strange claim, because do you have anything else where the Torah is makpid on a lamb for redemption? And it's mutar. Well, the truth is, you don't have anything else where the Torah makes such a demand. But what it means here is, do you have anything else where the Torah demands a particular method and particular vehicle for redemption. Whereas with pidyon, you can use anything that's worth five slayim, famous sugyat kiddushin. So here the Torah is makpid that you have to use a set uputar. So make pidyon, since when does the Torah care about that? He used to redeem his donkeys, and he would use it with grass. He didn't use a seh, but he would take grass that was worth the value of that petachamor. So a lot of vegetables, whatever. So the answer is a shovel comer. We're not talking about redeeming it for its value, which means now we're talking about two modes or two tracks of redemption. One track is the normal redemption that you find everywhere else in the Torah, like hektish and maser sheni, where you have to take the value of the item, or the value plus a fifth, and use it for redemption. And then there's this other point where you can redeem it for a lamb, even if the lamb is only worth 1/100th of the value of the donkey. So he says, Kamrin and Shalom B'Shovyo. He's talking about this special kind of redemption, which is for a very different value. In other words, if you find anything else where the Torah demands that you have to use a seh, meaning a set, and a set is automatic regardless of the value, so therefore you have to remove the isur. The line is a little bit strange. For a maser shepid alav Torah b'kesef tzuri, but the Torah also is makpid on a particular vehicle, which is for maser sheni, you have to use kesef tzuri, which means kesef, silver that has a form on it, and not a slug, not just metal, but that's minted. With none of you know mer b'mezid kidesh, Rabbi Yehuda is of the clan, of the position, and Rabbi Yehuda we're talking about here, this is a sugi in the second paragraph of Kiddushin, that if you were to take the maser sheni fruit itself and give it to a woman intentionally, knowing it's maser sheni, give it to her for Kiddushin, it's valid. Which means, because that's a litmus test in the whole second half of the second paragraph of Kiddushin, of the litmus test of ownership is that if you're to give this thing to the woman and it works as Kiddushin, then that means you own it. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if you give maser sheni fruit to a woman that's worth more than a shav bruta, it works, means that it's not also b'hanah. So the answer is, petach hamor nami mikdusha. The answer is Rabbi Yehuda would also hold that if you were to give her a petach hamor, it would work. Why? Following reason. What Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, that is, explains Rabbi Yehuda's reason for his psak, is that a woman understands that maser sheni is no good. So when he gives her a bunch of grapes, a truckload of grapes, it says, harem mekudesh li, maser sheni zeh, she understands that her being mitkadeshet doesn't make it not maser sheni. And she understands what she's got to do with it. So therefore, hachanami, if you give her a petach hamor, isha yodat, the petach hamor isura ipe, she knows that it's asur, in Rabbi Yehuda's thinking, uparkalei besed, she'll redeem it with a set. So you give a woman a $10,000 donkey, and she redeems it for a $200 set, make the shabbat behach the beni beni, and she's mitkadeshet with the $9,800 of difference between the donkey and the sam. Exaggerating the numbers, but there is going to be a difference in which the seh is worth less, and this is the differential between what she got in the donkey and what she then used to the seh to redeem it. That's the value with which she does kiddushin. So therefore, that proves nothing about the isur hanoah. There may be an isur hanoah here, but it's an issue of the umdana, of an estimation of the woman's understanding in kiddushin. So now, we now see a model for Rabbi Yehuda saying, that just like Ma'aser Sheni, where the Torah is makpid on how to redeem it, and there is an Isur Hanoah, nonetheless it works for Kiddushin, so Kiddushin does not destroy that explanation. Now, Rabbi Shimon, right time, why does Rabbi Shimon say that Petach Hamor is Mutar Bahanah? Which means that if you, the Petach Hamor, you use it to work, or whatever, generally for work, that you're allowed to work it, and you're allowed to get benefit from it, you just have to pay the Kohen something for it and redeem it. So Amar Ula, which would be according to Rabbi Shimon, of course, as we started this whole discussion, if the chamor was maybe, the first one was maybe a male, maybe a female, you wouldn't be mafkish anything. There's no isser to be mafkiya, and there's no financial debt because of the safek. So what's Ula now explains Rabbi Shimon's position. Think about this. Whenever you redeem something, the redemption takes on the character of the thing you redeemed. So you have maser sheni money, now becomes asur, you can't use it for whatever you want, and the maser then switches to it. So if ever we all agree that the seh can be used for whatever you want, that means that the chamor also had to be able to be used for whatever you want. Otherwise, what happened to the isur? Afalo, is that not true? Is that true? Very shvi to binyonam mutar v'yasura. If you have Perot Shvit, you're not allowed to benefit from them. You're only allowed to eat them and not, let's say, use them for business or whatever. But if you were to sell them, the money that you get from them is always mutabana. So the Isur doesn't switch. There's, again, an Isur that over the course of redemption just flies away. The answer is Shvi Nami Pidyon Asur. The answer is not true. The deal with Shvit is that if you take Perot Shvit and you, let's say, sell them for meat, then the meat is Asur and the Perot are still Asur. And then you take that meat and you swap it for fish, the meat is now Mutar, the fish is Asur, meaning the last one in line always stays Asur, and the original Perot also. Right? V'bayit Eima, the other possibility in explaining this entire piece about Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, which we started out by explaining that each one of them just looked around for a model and did not find a model that was different than what their conclusion was. They said our conclusion has to follow the general rule. But it's possible that Rabbi Shimon, Hai Krakami Palgi, that they're disagreeing about the interpretation of a pasuk about Bechor, Tanya, lo tavod Bechor shorecha, lo tagod Bechor tzonecha. Famous pasuk, you're not allowed to work the Bechor of your oxen. You're not allowed to shear the Bechor of your flock. And that's the Easter of Giza Vavoda. So lo tavod b'chor shorecha is understood to exclude, it's only b'chor shorecha when it's your own individually solely owned b'chor. But if you have one that's jointly owned, you may. V'lo tagoz b'chor tzanecha, tagozez b'shocha b'shol achirim. Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda interprets that shorecha and tzanecha are only there to exclude partnership-owned animals that don't have kedushat b'chor. Right, Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Lo tavod b'chor shorecha means v'lata oved b'chor adam. So goes b'chor tzanecha, v'lata gozeis b'chor chamor. So whereas Rabbi Yehuda sees both phrases as excluding a partnership-owned b'chor, and the entire pasuk is talking about and only excluding b'chor behemat tohara, Rabbi Shimon says that the pasuk is really teaching about all three kinds of b'chor, and limiting and saying the only place where there's an Isur of Giza Lavoda is b'chor behemat tohara, not Bechor Adam, and not Bechor Petach Hamor. Now, Bishlam of Rabbi Shimon, we understand Rabbi Shimon, Hainu Nechtiv, Trei Kri. That's why we need two passages here. Because one has to exclude Bechor Adam, and one has to exclude Bechor Behemat Teme'ah, or Petach Hamor. Elo, the Rabbi Yehuda, Trei Kri, Lim Uti, Shalcha, V'shal Achim, Lamali. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that both the first and the second clause in that Pasuk, or in that phrase, the second half of the Pasuk, are there to exclude partnership-owned, why do you need two phrases? In other words, it could have said, lo tavod v'tagoz b'chor tzonecha v'shorecha. Why make them two phrases? V'tu, Rabbi Yehuda, b'chor adam nami, neimad asur, and also, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he doesn't have that phrase to exclude b'chor adam, then perhaps he thinks that b'chor adam is also asur b'ano, which means if you have a b'chor that never got redeemed and he goes out to work, all of his wages are asur. This is, of course, preposterous, but we're arguing a reductio here. Elena Kuli Alma, everybody must agree. Shorcha lemuta b'chor adam hu da'ata. The first phrase, lo tavod b'chor shorecha, and by the way, these two questions answer each other, is to exclude b'chor adam. It's only your shor that has the isur of avodah, and kipli givet sonecha, which means now we've also removed the first question, which is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why you need two phrases. The answer is the first phrase is not excluding partnership, it's excluding Bechor Adam. Their disagreement is about Tzonecha. Rabbi Yehuda the Tameh, Rabbi Yehuda follows his own reasoning. Tamar, Shutfut Goy B'chayev B'chora. He holds that even if you are a co-owner with a non-Jew, you're still a Chiyuv B'chora. Chitztarach Kra L'mishrei B'gizev Avoda. So he said, nonetheless, the pasuk is there to say it does not have an Isur of Giza Vavoda. You still have to give the Bechor over if you're a co-owner with a non-Jew. And this is something we've seen already at the very beginning of Masechet. But the pasuk is there to say there's no Isur of Giza Vavoda in such a case. Rabbi Shimon Savar Shufut Goy Pturamina Bechorah. He holds, like everybody else, that if you co-own it with a non-Jew, then there is no Chiyuv Bechorah. And therefore, the Giza Vavoda Lo Yitzarach Kra. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that I could shear one that I co-own with a non-Jew, kitztarech kra l'fetach hamor, the pasuk must be there in order to eliminate petach hamor and say there is no iser with petach hamor. So to put that together, Rabbi, in the final analysis is, Rabbi, we all agree lo tavod b'chor shorecha is to say, but b'chor adam is not included. The question is lo tavod b'chor tzonecha. If you hold that a co-owned animal that you co-own with a goy is chayv b'bechora, then I need the pasuk to say, but there's no iser of gizah avoda. But if I hold that it's patur min habechora, I don't need to address it at all. And therefore it's there to exclude petach hamor, and say petach hamor is mutar b'hana'a. Now, bishlam al Rabbi Yehuda, hainu dichtiv tzonecha v'shorecha, atu tzonecha. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the pasuk makes sense, because it says, tzonecha, yours, it's an exclusionary kind of phrase, and because it says, v'shorecha atu tzonecha, we needed tzonecha to knock out the partnership. It's yours and not yours and his. But shorecha has to be written in parallel construction in the pasuk. That's the style of the pasuk. According to Bishimon, I don't need either one. Because it could have said, lo tavod b'vchor shor, and that would exclude b'chor adam. Lo tagoz b'chor tzon, and b'chor tzon would exclude petach hamor. And so therefore I do not need the nominal suffix of tzonecha and shorecha in either case. The answer is kasha, you're right, it's a problem. According to Bishimon, the pasuk could be written in a more, in a simpler way. Now, Amar Rabba, Modur Bishimon, remember that if you have a petach hamor and you choose not to redeem it, you have to break its back. So break its neck from the back. Something we'll see later on in the parak. So according to Rabbah, Rabbi Shimon would agree that after you broke its neck, it's asur. My tama, the answer is gamar arif arifa meaglarufa. Famously, the only other case of breaking the from the back of the neck with a behema is with the eglarufa, and the eglarufa is asur bana afterwards. So the same word va'arfu, va'arafto, is going to be learned to apply and say in the same way. If you break the neck of the petach hamor, then you cannot get hana from it. Amar Rabba, mina aminale. How do I know that that's the case? The Tanya, the following brayta, somewhat long. All these things are foods that are asur bahana'a. Orla and kila kerem, we're familiar with them. Shor niskal, an animal that killed somebody is going to be killed. Egla rufa, tzipor mitzora, that's the birds, the one of which is sent away for the mitzora ceremony, and the other one's killed. Petach hamor, that's ours. Ubasar b'chalav. Alright, all matame tumat ochlin. Rabbi Shimon omer kulan ein matame tumat ochlin. It said none of them have tumat ochlin, and we'll see why. Umodu Rabbi Shimon asar b'chalav shematame tumat ochlin. Because huwe v'haitala shot hakosher. Rabbi Shimon says if you have basar b'chalav, that they're all agree there's tumat ochlin because there was a moment where you were allowed to eat them before they got mixed. So he says therefore all of these other things, one, they were killed in a manner that made them asar b'hana. They had no moment where they were dead where you could eat them, or they were plucked off of the tree where you could eat them, and therefore they never had a shot hakosher. And therefore, there's no tumat ochlin. There just isn't, because it's not called ochel. Basar chalav is the one exception. Now, we're not done with that. V'yamar Rabbi Yasser Rabbi Yochanan, my time at Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon say that tumat ochlin depends on this food having, at some point in its life, if you will, having had a moment that it could be eaten? Because the pasuk says, "Dichtiv mikola ochel asher yeachel." Any food which is eaten, meaning ochel shatay achol achilo lachirim. Any food you're allowed to feed somebody else, which means get an offer from. Because even if you're feeding to a non-Jew, you're getting some an offer. He's going to pay you for it, perhaps. And that's why we said Eiv Min Achai does not have tumat ochlin, because you're not allowed to feed it to anybody. But if you're not allowed to feed it to anybody else, then it's not called ochel. And we're still honing in on what Rabbi Shimon's reason here is in the case of the petach hamor. Iachi basar b'chalav my yirya dahi petach hamor after arifa. So iachi basar b'chalav my yirya dahi tala shot hakosher. So time out. Why is Rabbi Shimon giving the reason or the claim is that Rabbi Shimon would agree that basar b'chalav has tumat ochlin because it had a moment that it was mutar before it got mixed. Typically the ochel shatay chol achilo acheru. After all, Rabbi Shimon holds that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ben Shimon Rabbi Shimon basar b'chalav asur b'achila. We have this in the 8th Perek in Chulin. Rabbi Shimon famously holds that there is no Isur Hana'at of Basar B'chalav, because Basar B'chalav is introduced for its final time in Parshat Re'eh with the words Am Kadosh, and when we're called Anshei Kodesh, the parallel phrase, that's about a trefa, Malan Asur B'chilav Mutar B'na, just like a trefa is not allowed to be eaten, but you're allowed to get benefit from it. Havkan Asur B'chilav Mutar B'na, same thing here. So why does Rabbi Shimon have to resort to the reason that Hitalo Shata Kosher, you could have eaten this cheese or this meat before you mixed them? Why doesn't he just say, because it's not Asur B'hana'a? The answer is Chadav Od Kamar, meaning he holds both reasons. Chada means for myself. This is food you're allowed to sell to somebody and feed to somebody. I mean, I'm Jewish. And according to me, I've got another reason. But even according to you, if you say it's a surbana'a, it's still something that you were allowed to eat at some point. Now, that's entirely the Rabbi Shimon approach. That means that Rabbi Shimon says that Egel Arufa is Petach Hamor, which is mentioned there, and he says it does not have Tumat Ochlin. But if it's true, and this is the argument from silence, if it's true that, according to Rabbi Shimon, after you break the neck of the Petach Hamor, you could still get benefit from it, the Braita should have said, Rabbi Shimon agrees that Basar B'Chalav and Petach Hamor have Tumat Ochlin, because the Petach Hamor could be eaten after you break its back. But the fact that he doesn't say that and limits his exception to Basar B'Chalav proves that he agrees that once you kill the Petach Hamor, you're not allowed to get benefit, and even selling it to a non-Jew to eat. So, the answer is, if indeed you had intent and thought about it when you killed it and said, I'm going to use this for food, then he would say, yeah, it does have Tumat Ochlin, because you're allowed to feed it. Meaning, we are rejecting this argument and saying, perhaps Rabbi Shimon would say it's Mutar Bahana'a, even after killing it. But because it's what it is, it's a donkey with a broken neck, that you're not, it's not considered food until you have Machshava, an intent. We're just talking about a normal case where you don't have intent. Look, meat is food. Cheese is food. You don't have to have express intent to make it Ochel. And therefore, since at one point it was Mutar, therefore it has Tumat Ochlin. But a Petach Hamor, a Achar Arifa, you'd have to think about it as food before it would be able to have that category. But time am I Matami Rabbanan, so why did the Rabbanan declare it Tameh? Meaning, say, Tumat Ochlin, and this is true about all those things, that things you're not allowed to get benefit from. Rabbanan Kameh to Rav Sheshet, so the student said to Rav Sheshet, Hoel V'Isuro Chishuvo. Meaning, what gives this food its significance? The fact that it's asur. This kilayim is important and thought about and recognized, and you have to deal with it a certain way because it's asur. That gives it chashivut. Rabbanan miyamar hoel v'isur choshvo. But since when do the Rabbanan accept that principle that something can be considered to be thought of and intended as food just because it has an isur? Vatnan. Watch this. Shlosha asar dvarim amru b'nivlat of tahor. There's a Mishnah that lists, says that we have 13 different rules about Nivlat Of Tahor, meaning like a chicken or another Of Tahor that died without proper Shechita. It's Vatami Tumat Ochlin Tumat Begadim Veta Blia. Vezu Achat Mian. What's that? Tzricha Machshava Mian Tzricha Hechsher. It doesn't need Hechsher in order to become Tamei, but it does need Machshava. You have to think about it as food. But Vi'i Suroch Yishuvo Lamali Machshava. But if your argument is that the Rabbanon hold, that the minute something's asur, that gives it significance, and you don't need to be to have thought about it as food in order to make it vulnerable to tuma. Then why do you need that nivlat of tahor? The answer is Hamani Rabbi Shimon. The answer is the author of that mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, who obviously does not hold isuro choshvo, as we saw in our whole list of things Rabbi Shimon disagrees with, and says that the fact that they're asur does not make them vulnerable to tuma. Okay, toshma nivlat behemat tmeya b'chol makom. Nivat of Tahor, v'achelev b'kfarim. So now, a horse that died on its own, nivlat b'matmeya. And that's true everywhere, the following rule. And nivlat of Tahor, a chicken that died without proper shechita. And chelev, meaning the fats of animal, out in the hinterlands where there's lots of meat and they don't generally eat chelev. Tzuchim machshava v'inam tzuchim echsher. They need intent in order to make them be considered food for tumat ochlin. They don't need echsher. And again, the same notion, if you think that the fact that it's asur gives it significance and therefore already establishes it as food, so what do I need to have intent for? So the answer is, same answer, that's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon clearly does not accept the notion, the isuro chishuvo. Toshma, let's try it again. Nivlat be'mat tahora b'chol makom. Again, nivlat of tahor v'chelev v'shvakim. Now, the same parallel is what we just saw. But now we're talking not in the hinterlands, but now right in the marketplace. And not tzuchim machshava v'lo echsher. They don't need machshava, because here it's people eat all of this. So hatmeya by machshava. So notice it's behemat tahora, not behemat tmeya. Which means that a behemat tmeya, which is certainly asura, and nivlat behemat tmeya, is not listed here. So clearly, You have to think about it. So, and you're going to argue again that that's Rabbi Shimon and try to do the same answer. So I'm going to say Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, because the Sefer of that is authored by Rabbi Shimon, so the Reisha can't be. The Tani Sefer Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says even those four famous animals, that each of which has one siman, the camel and the rabbit and the hyrax and the pig, don't need machshava or hechsher. Rabbi Shimon, my tam, why who the yishben simanei tahara? Since each one of them has one siman tahara, therefore that gives it enough significance, but not because of Isur. So that's Rabbi Shimon speaking up and disagreeing with Tanakama, who said only behemat tahara that's in the vela doesn't need machshava, and that can't be Rabbi Shimon. So this entire notion of Isur Choshvo doesn't seem to work. We do not accept that principle. And just because something's Asur, it gives it machshava. And indeed, if he did break the neck of the animal, then indeed we would agree that that it is not Tumatame Tumat Ochlin. Let's say you actually shechted the donkey in order to learn. So that's why when it says Petach Hamor, so you had the Petach Hamor, and then you shechted it in order to learn how Shechita works. Uvepluta de Nimos for Rabbi Eliezer, with a machlok between Nimos and Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanya. Nimos, somebody we have not heard of. Rabbi Eliezer is, of course, very famous. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Sachli Nimos Achiv Shrabbi Yoshua Garsi. Yoshua Garsi, who his brother was a fellow named Nimos, and he told me the following thing. Shashocheta ta orev li lamedbo. If you have a raven, the raven is a non-kosher bird, and you shecht it, just to learn how Shechita works. Damo machshir, the dam actually is machshir, even though it's not dam of proper shechita. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, dam shechita leolam machshir. He says, dam shechita always machshir. So Rabbi Eliezer Hainu Tanakama, how's he disagreeing? Halav Yisroel Chishuvo Yikominayu. They have the following disagreement. Tanakama Sabra, damo machshir lealma, havali gufei by machshava. Meaning that this Nemo says that the dam of the shechita is considered dam, so that if it falls on fruit or something, that's considered to have one of the seven mashkim. But on itself, it doesn't. V'at Rabbi Eliezer, the member of Rabbi Eliezer, disagrees, says, Dam shechita le'olam machshir, v'na filu l'gufei nami lo bai machshava. That now the dam falls on the raven, even the raven itself has tumat ochli. So, who says that's what their positions are? Dilma tam Rabbi Eliezer, hatam neshani o rev, ho v'yish bo simanei tahara. After all, nearly all the birds have some simanei tahara, so it might be the same argument that we had before about those four species. The Rabbi Shimon said, since it has some simanei tahara, that's significant enough. Manalan the simanei tahara miltahi. How do we know that simanei tahara are meaningful at all? And we saw it. The Tanya la da here. Mishum matam hu aviyish po simanei tahara. Mishum said so. V'chitema imishum simanei tahara ma'iri l'itlamed. So then, why do you need the case where the guy shechts the raven in order to learn how to do shechita? Afilu l'itasek nami. Even if he just shechts inadvertently. Because the because since that's simanei some simanei tahara, it's significant enough as a food. The answer is einachinami umishim nimos. It was only taught in order to address Nimos's position, because Nimos's position was that dam shechita is machshir. If you did it lit lamedbo, which means it's an act of shechita, it is machshir for others, but not machshir for this bird itself. Okay, we'll pause at this point, even though we're somewhat, to some extent, in the middle of a discussion. So we'll pick up that discussion in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.